Amen. Praise God. Hey, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter number 62. I hope you can hear me. Isaiah chapter number 62 together, looking at the first five verses. And you know, when you watch from home from Sunday to Sunday, we appreciate our team so much, our tech team, our sound team, our camera guys. They do amazing. And but we're not professional studio producers, so we're getting it down and we keep growing as we go. So forgive us when things drop. Sometimes it's the internet, sometimes it's us. Well, we keep working on perfecting it each week and getting a little better. So I got a good word for you that I believe will equip you this week. It's Isaiah chapter number 62. I'm going to be reading from verses 1 through 5. Isaiah 62, verses 1 through 5. You can follow along with me. You can turn to it at this time, or we'll have it on that little screen there if you can see it, that's up as well. It tells us this: "For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent." Now, whether it's God speaking or the prophet, who is the I in this passage, that gets a little bit mixed up. But the I is still the prophet speaking for God. So we want to understand this as a word from God to his people. "For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah and your land Beulah. For the Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married. As a young man marries a young woman, so will your builder marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you." Come on, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this word, filled with some unique promises, some incredible words and truths that we can hold on to in you. I pray that through them, Lord God, that once again this Sunday, we will be equipped and built up as we grow in who we are in you, Lord God, that we will be a people who know who we are in Christ Jesus, that we will be able to walk in that and live in it, Lord God. I pray that the hope that this passage brings, Lord God, will be very real in our lives, in Jesus' name. And church from home, I want you to just pray along with me, if you would, at this time, and pray, "Father, speak to my heart through the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. Praise God. Hey, there's a wedding that's mentioned in this passage that we just looked at, and not a specific wedding, but it's used as an illustration. I, of course, remember my wedding day well. I think probably most everyone does. If you're watching me right now at home and you're married, I'm sure somewhere in your home there's a picture of your wedding day, a groom and bride together. You've got them saved somewhere along the way, perhaps out displayed. And I remember my wedding day as well. I remember that when it was time for the wedding to start, my wife wasn't there yet. And I was both a combination of nervous and excited. And I was in Puerto Rico at the time. I was in San Juan. I got married at the First Baptist Church of San Juan, and I was there. And once it was time for the wedding to start, and 5 minutes had gone by, and 10 minutes had gone by, and 15 minutes had gone by, and Sarai wasn't in the place yet, I think the pastor noticed that he could see maybe some beads of perspiration starting to pick up on my forehead, and then I was feeling the stress of that a little bit, and I was kind of pacing back and forth in the back area, and he came over, and he settled me, and he calmed me, and let me know. He was like, "Hey, you're in Puerto Rico, and you're fine." He was like, "That we never would have started on time. In fact, I think we started around 45 minutes after the scheduled time, and I'm told we were breaking records." There were different factors in there. So I was actually there much earlier than that. I'm going to sneak that in case she reminds you. But I was excited. I was excited like anyone is excited on their wedding day. I was excited when she came in. I was excited about getting married. And that's a picture that is created here in the text that we just looked at of God rejoicing over his children, like how a groom rejoices over their bride. It's a beautiful picture and one that helps us to see who we are to God, how much God loves us, how much God cares about us, how much we matter to Him. Family, God loves His creation. God loves His creation. God loves you. God loves you. If you're with somebody right now, if you're at home and there's somebody else in the room with you, I want you to tell them God loves you. If you're by yourself, maybe you can text somebody right now and tell them God loves you. He does. He loves you with an everlasting love. He loves His people. He loves His children. You are loved by God. Come on, declare it right now. Say, God loves me. I remind you, man, I've preached it. I've taught it. The primary reason God made you, your number one purpose for being, is to let God love you. It's not to do something. It's not to accomplish something. God made you more than anything else. God made you to love you. Let God love you. Receive the love of God in your life. It's powerful. Remember that. Now, tough times don't mean that God doesn't love me. Everybody goes through trials. Everybody goes through ups and downs. We've been in a crazy season in the whole world and here in the States. And I know a lot of people in other countries also watch this message. It's not just here, and things are crazy all around the planet right now. We get that with the pandemic and the economic situation that has been the result of it and things. But tough times don't mean God doesn't love us. Isaiah's words wouldn't make any sense if that was the case, because he brought them in a tough time. Isaiah brought this word in a time that was kind of similar to when Jeremiah brought his words. We'll remember Jeremiah. Jeremiah brought that great passage that we all love to hold on to where God says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper and not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. But I remind you that Jeremiah did not speak that word to a prosperous people. Jeremiah did not speak that to a people who were doing well. Jeremiah brought that word to a people who were enslaved in captivity and in exile in another land. He came to people that word would make no sense to. Everything about their situation was bad, and told them, God has good plans for you. Isaiah brought this word in a time where the people weren't really walking in all that he declared as well. But God still knows what he has planned for us. Even during difficult days, during trying days, during dark hours, God still declares good things over His people. And that's the kind of word that Isaiah brought here in Isaiah 62, where we read. It's a word of hope. It's a word of assurance that I want to walk you through today. And the first thing I want you to catch from this passage that I just read today is that God can't keep quiet about you. God can't keep quiet about you. In Isaiah 62, it is declared, God says it over Himself through the prophet, that He will not remain silent, that He will not keep quiet, and He's speaking of the promises over His children. God can't keep quiet about His kids. That's how parents are, especially new parents. New parents have a new baby, and they'll be telling you anything their baby did. You'll see them, and they're like, my baby ate bread. And you're like, okay, yeah, my baby pooped. My baby did what? And they just, everything, they're excited about their kids, and they talk about them, and they show you pictures, and they say, look at this little video of my kid falling down. And you're like, all right. And they're just excited, everything, because it's their kid and they're a parent. God can't keep quiet about His kids either. He says, I won't keep silent. I will not remain silent. Now, Israel was in a difficult season, but God is a God of restoration. And there were promises that He had made that had not yet been all fulfilled. And the people of God weren't yet walking in all that God had in store for them. And God says, I'm not going to stay quiet about what I have declared about you until your vindication comes, until salvation comes like a blazing torch, until the nations, that's your enemies, see your vindication. Now, I know you're at home, but I'm getting a little feedback on the platform. If you guys can watch me a little bit, I'm getting a ringing up here with that. So, and He says, and until the kings or the people see your glory, that's the manifestation of God in your life. Until the realization of who I made you to be is evident, God says, I'm not going to keep silent about you. That's exciting. Well, our God doesn't change. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. And the way God was with his people then, that's the way God is with his people now. Friends, I want you to catch something today. If God can't keep quiet about me, I want you to know that I'm sure not going to keep quiet about God. Did you catch that? If God can't keep quiet about me, then I'm sure not going to keep quiet about my God. If God can't keep quiet about his plans for your life, then you sure better not keep quiet about God's plans for your life as well, praise God. Remember this, speak the promises of God over your life. Speak the promises of God over your life. I'm going to ask a technical question, even that you're at home. You can't see it, but there's people walking around in the room, and I need to know something really quick. I don't know who's switching the cameras. Is that you? Okay, I just want to know that I'm seeing if I switch right now. All right, so you're good. You're good at home, but I'm making sure we're all on the same page in here. I want to encourage you to speak God's word over your life, because that's what God does over you. God speaks his word over your life. God knows his plans for his children, and until those plans are fulfilled in the life of the child of God, our Heavenly Father is going to continue to speak up on behalf of his children. So catch this. When the devil shows up in the place of the accuser and says over you, and I want you to just picture this. Picture a conversation where the devil is in the place of the accuser with God our Father. And when he shows up and he's there and he says something negative about you, he says, look at her, God. She's falling apart. God's response to that is, she's a daughter of promise. And the devil is, well, she's thinking things that she has no business thinking. And God says, she's coming into a place of perfect peace. And the devil says, well, she's not walking in victory. And God says, well, she's going to be because she's valiant in my kingdom. And the devil's like, valiant? She's struggling with temptation. And Jesus chimes in and says, well, I already paid for her. God keeps speaking what he has declared over your life. Over you is the picture we get in the scriptures. I want you to remember that. God can't shut up about you because you're his. If God can't stay quiet about you, don't you dare stay quiet about him. Now, I worked with students for years in education. And kids would come to me and they would say things like this. We could have a kid who would come to me, and the kid comes in and he says to me, Pastor, my birthday is next Saturday, and my dad says I'm going to get a new bicycle for my birthday. I said, oh, wow, that's great. And then he goes on down the hall, and that's that. And then I see the kid a couple of days later, and he goes, Pastor, guess what? I'm going to get a bicycle for my birthday. My dad said that he's getting me a new bicycle for my birthday. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's exciting. That's cool. And then two or three days go by, and I see the kid in the hallway, and he stops me. He's like, Pastor, did I tell you I'm going to get a new bicycle for my birthday? And I'm like, yeah, you told me that a couple of times already, actually. And he keeps telling me when he comes in. And then his birthday finally comes, and he comes back to school, and he says, guess what I got for my birthday? I'm like, a bike? Yeah, my dad got me a bike, and it's blue, and the seat is black, and it's like this, and he's excited. That kid can't keep quiet about what his parent is doing for him. He's excited about that. He continues to talk about it. Don't stay quiet about your Heavenly Father. Man, your friends, your family should need to know. Everybody can know it about me. If you don't want to hear about Jesus, don't hang out with me. If you don't want to hear about God, don't hang out with me, because I can't stay quiet about a God who won't stay quiet about me. I just can't do that. Speak up and speak the truths of God over your life. Let me keep moving and give you a next thing today, and that is this. God keeps you in his hand. God keeps you in his hand. This is powerful. You know what this tells me? This tells me that God is always close by. You are always close to God if God keeps you in his hand. It says in the scripture, you will be a crown. We read this in Isaiah. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. Come on, that's good. You're precious to God. You're God's treasured possession. You're valuable to him. That's why he paid so much for you. That's why he keeps you in his hand. Psalm 116:1 says, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. God always hears you. You're right there in his hand. You're right there with him. Think about that. Think about how close you are to God. You're only this far away. Now I know God's arms are a lot longer than my arms. But in a matter of perspective, because everything about him then is bigger, you're only this far away. When you speak, God always hears you because he keeps you close. He keeps you right here. Now, I love my wife dearly and she's wonderful. But my wife will speak to me like when she's upstairs and I'm all the way downstairs in the basement. I could be two levels away from her, and my wife calls me Bebe, as most of you will know. And I will hear in the faint background, Bebe, and then I will hear like, and I'm like, what? Did you say something? And I come up the stairs, and I'm like, did you say something? And I don't even know what she said because she's farther away in that situation. Now, in all fairness to her, sometimes she says things to me right here, and I also don't hear her. In fact, that happened this week. I was outside working on a faucet on the outside of our house, fixing it where it had broken. And when I'm out there repairing the faucet, when we came inside, I said to Sarai inside, hey, did you call the doctor about the x-ray? She's been having trouble with her knee and they had x-rayed it. I said, did you call the doctor about the x-ray? And she says, I already told you that. And I was like, you did? And she says, yeah, when you were outside working on the faucet, I told you that. And I'm like, Sarai, I'm a man. I only get to use half my brain as it is. Don't tell me things while I'm doing something else. So I don't always hear, but here's the great thing with God. He always hears. He's always listening. He always knows. He's right there. You're right there in his hand. God's hand is a close place. It's a secure place. John 10:28 says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Come on, that's a promise to hold on to. That is a promise to hold on to, praise God. It's a safe place. It's a place of love. So remember this as we keep moving, because I've got another one for you. God can't keep quiet about you and the promises that he has spoken over your life. You're like a crown, like a diadem of great value in the hand of God. And then as a final thing today, God calls you by your new name. God calls you by your new name. It says in Isaiah 62, no longer will they call you deserted or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah and your land Beulah. Now, if you're by yourself, you can make a comment online or you can text someone or whatever else, but if you're with someone, I want you to tell them right now, God calls me Hephzibah. Hephzibah. H-E-P-H-Z-I-B-A-H. God calls me Hephzibah. That is the promise of God. Hephzibah means this: my delight is in her. I hope you're catching this. God says, no longer are you going to be called desolate or deserted. No longer will you be called the negative things that society or culture or the world hung over you or labeled on you. But instead, I'm going to call you Hephzibah. My delight is in her. This is a good word. The world might call you deserted. The world might call you desolate. But God calls you, my delight is in her. That's why God can't keep quiet about you. That's why God keeps you in his hand, because his delight is in you. In verse 5, it says God rejoices over his children like a groom over his bride. Zephaniah 3:17 says God rejoices over you with singing. Praise God. Come on, that's amazing. He sings over you. God rejoices over you. He delights over you. And he calls you Hephzibah. He renames you. Now, I lived in Yonkers, New York for 23 years, and I've shared one time in church a story of a guy who lived there who almost all the years I lived there called me by the wrong name. He worked in a deli down the street from our house. His name was Scotty, and I don't know how, but somehow not long after I was there, he started calling me Rich. And I don't know where it came from, but he would call me Rich. And after a couple of times of correcting him, I just quit correcting him and I would just go with it. And when I would walk in the morning to get a coffee or whatever, and he would just say, good morning, Rich. And I would just be like, good morning, Scotty. And that just became my name. And if anybody was with me and they say, why does he call you Rich? I would just say, I just receive it as a prophetic word over my life of what God is going to do for me. And I don't know why he calls me that. So he just called me rich all this time. Well, here's why I bring this story up again. When I was visiting Yonkers again recently, I was walking down a sidewalk in the area where I used to live. And from off in the distance, in the background, I heard somebody yelling something. And they were yelling a name that wasn't my name, so you would think I wouldn't answer to it. But from off in the distance, I hear somebody yelling, "Hey, Rich! Rich!" And what do you think I did? I turned around and looked, and there was Scotty. He was right there. He came running up, greeted me, asked how I had been doing, calling me by the name that he had given me, as crazy as that sounds. I would never turn around to another name that wasn't mine, but I knew he was saying that. I want you to catch this. When I get to the New Jerusalem, when I get to the marriage supper of the Lamb, when I get where I'm there in the presence of God, when I hear God yell, "Hephzibah," I'm going to be like, that's me. That's me right there. I'm the one that you delight in. I know that that's what you call me. I know that I'm not my failures from the past or where I fell short or anything that somebody else would have said over me, but I'm who God says I am, praise God. And Revelation tells us also that God's got a new name for us that only he knows anyway. So you're going to get that one as well, hallelujah. But here on earth, I want you to remember this. In fact, I think we're going to put this on the screen. I want you to remember this. Here on earth in the in-between time, and I don't know who first said this, but it's something to hold on to and remember, and that is that the devil knows your name, but he calls you by your sin. He's always just going to remind you of where you fall short. But God knows your sin, but he calls you by your name. And in particular, he calls you by your new name. Your new name that he gave you, praise God. The world will label you based on your failures more than it will your successes, but that's not God's way. His mercies are new every morning, his faithfulness is great, and he calls you who you are in him because you're his, because you're his. Church, Israel wasn't really in a great place when this word was delivered. The words that were being spoken over them, if you had looked at their situation, it didn't necessarily look like what was being spoken over them in this situation. And yet God is a God, of course, who calls things that are not as though they are. It's how he speaks over us in our lives. And God knew restoration was coming. It wasn't all there yet, but God knew it was coming. When you look at your own situation, you could look around and say, well, my life doesn't really look like all the promises of God that I know of right now. I don't really see it all taking place around me, but I want you to know that God always sees things as he knows they will be, and he wants us to look through eyes of faith as well, to see them also in our lives. That's God's way. Remember that restoration is always coming. And these are truths that are always true for those who are in relationship with God. Now, if you're watching today and you're not in a relationship with God, you need to be. If Jesus isn't the Lord and Savior of your life, you need to ask him to come in and be the Lord of your life and ask him to forgive you of your sins, because when you do, it positions you in this place of where you know these things are true over your life. These things that are declared are true over your life, that you know, wow, God can't keep silent about me, praise God. So don't keep silent about him. Let me sneak that in, because God's just going to keep declaring his truths over your life. God won't let go of you. You are right there in his hand, and God calls you by who you are in him. I want to ask the worship team to come back up and join me at this time. But what I want to encourage you to do is to rest in this week. To rest in this truth and these truths of who you are in him. God keeps speaking and declaring the promises that he has made over your life over you. Keep speaking them over your life as well. Keep declaring them over your life as well and believing for them over your life, not based on what you see around you, but based on who you are in Christ Jesus. Remember that God's not going to let go of you. You're in his hand, and he holds you like you're precious. He holds you as a treasured possession. I want to say that he holds you like a cell phone, but I drop my cell phone too often. But it might work as a good illustration for you. He holds on to you as something of great value, and God calls you by who you are in him. Come on, hey, before I pray these truths over you, We're going to sing one of the songs that we sang to open with today, just as a time of praise and worship and as a song of prayer unto Him. So I want to encourage you to praise and worship along. And then I'm going to come back and I want to pray these truths over your life. Hallelujah.
Great reminder. Let's declare one more time. Trouble won't throw me, won't break me, won't scare me no more.
Trouble won't throw me, won't break me, won't scare me.
Jesus Christ, we thank you for these promises from your word. Lord God, we're in the midst of a pandemic that's lingering and going on. We're in a nation that's filled with political partisanship and fights in our government and all that's going on. There are economic issues. There are things all around that we could look at and see and be like, what's continuing to go on? But Israel was in a tough place when Isaiah brought this word, and you brought a word, Lord God, through them saying that although everything didn't look like what you had declared, you couldn't keep quiet about the promises that you had made over them. I know you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know that you're continuing to declare your truths over our lives, Lord God, that you promised. So I pray that this week we would walk in that as well. I pray that we would speak the promises of God over our lives. If you're not going to keep quiet about me, I'm sure not going to keep quiet about you, God. We're going to continue to declare what your word says is true and walk in that. You, the God who holds us in your hand like a crown, like a diadem, and calls us Hephzibah. You speak over us, my delight is in her as your bride, Lord God. What a secure place that puts us in to know that your delight is in us, Lord God, as your children, Lord God, as those who follow you. We thank you for it. It gives us peace. It gives us hope. I pray for anybody who feels beat up. Maybe they're hung up on the label the world has put on them and can't shake it, or a past failure or whatever. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you'd help them today and all of us to hold on to the promise of who we truly are in you. In Jesus. God bless you. Walk in these truths. Speak the word of God over your life this week. It's so important. Live victoriously in Christ Jesus. God bless you. Amen.